tonight. Well, where do we start?
Oh, what's Chris Hemsworth up to right now?
He'd have the shirt off, push-ups, guns out,
big Thor.
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't he be enjoying it?
He'd be ready to go to Perth on his private jet, dude. Flying over there.
Who's your favourite right now? We've seen two great performances, Melbourne and the Bulldogs.
I'm on the Doggies. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah? I'm sorry, D's fans. I want them to win because obviously our great mate Simon Goodwin's a coach. And I just think if the Doggies play like that, they win.
Mm.
They were incredible. They've just got so much depth. They've got a good forward line. They get Keith back. They get Waitman. I think they're a better rounded side. I think Melbourne are really good. Don't get me wrong. They've been really good in the two finals. But who have they beaten? Geelong were real poor. And Brisbane and Adelaide weren't very good either.
Yeah, I reckon it's a tough one to pick as there's been for a long time. Because basically, well, last night Geelong didn't really fire a shot. And the D's were outstanding. And tonight, same with Port Adelaide. They hardly fired a shot. And the Bulldogs are very, very good. But how do you compare that or try and work out who was better, who's not, what it's going to be?
We've got 2 weeks to do it.
It's
going to
be a fascinating midfield battle in 2 weeks' time in the grand final. I just can't wait for Petraka, Oliver, Viney, Gorn versus McRae, Bontempelli, Smith, Treloar.
It's an even matchup.
How good is it? How good are the defenders?
Incredible.
Alex Keith back, one of the best intercept markers, versus Lever and May down the other end.
Norton on May.
What it's going to be, it is going to be a great grand final, and two clubs that have been starved of premiership. I know the Bulldogs won in 16, but they were a long time between drinks as well. So two teams that have been starved of premiership success, and geez, it's going to be great for their supporters. They're not a huge following from both clubs, but two really proud clubs, and can't wait for it.
And in hindsight, they were the best two clubs all year, weren't they, that have made the grand final.
Yep.
They're there. They were the best all year until the last bit where the Dogs sort of dropped the bundle. What about on the flip side, Port Adelaide? So this is a side who made top two. They had a couple of home finals.
Can I start this conversation by saying, I think you've got to go back, if they're going to do some sort of review, you've got to analyse who they beat, and maybe we got carried away all year with who they beat, because there were, if you remember,
most people kept talking about, they never beat
a top eight side. Do you remember that was talked about all year? Never beat top four, never beat top eight, until right at the end they beat the Bulldogs. And maybe, just maybe, we've got to look at all of that and analyse who they beat, and then they beat the old men of the comp, the Geelong, who last night got thrashed as well. Maybe they just weren't as good as we thought they were, and that's got to be looked at.
They did have a good draw for the year. The sides that they played twice, and you play five sides twice, four of those were outside the top eight all year.
And that's what I'm sort of alluding to, Roo. I just wonder if, you know, we got a little bit of a false sense with Port Adelaide.
They played the game of their season against the Cats here. And maybe we were seduced a little bit to going, oh, no, Port Adelaide, they have arrived. They are the real deal. I certainly did. But you can only go on the performance you see, or their last performance. And that performance, that pressure and intensity, that's an attitude thing. And they brought it against the Cats. But tonight, jeez, they decided not to bring it. I don't know whether they thought they were automatically in.
Is it the weight of the expectation, like you talked about before the game?
Yeah. Well, it can be. Expectation, as I said pre-game, does funny things to people. And home crowd, just do you think it's going to happen? Yes, you think you're going to win. Everyone thinks they're going to win that puts the Guernsey on, whether you're playing home or away. But everything was in Port Adelaide's favour. They're staying in their own beds.
Yep.
Home final, got the week off. You know, there's talk about, well, Biggles had a bit of a joke about the Bulldogs using motivation of Port Adelaide people talking about grand final tickets and flights over and prices of flights. Whether that plays a role, maybe not, but it's an attitude, so you've got to look to where that attitude comes from, and maybe it is somewhere down that path.
We talk about Port Adelaide, and look, they've lost this. They've been beaten by 71 points. They've got to do a big review, but what about the Bulldogs? I mean, they are the story here. How they've turned it around. They were absolutely brilliant tonight. We said pre-game their stars are going to have to rock up, and they did. Their stars were unbelievable.
In fact, Norton turned up.
They didn't have a passenger.
No.
I'll start down the bottom of the stat screen. Cordy did a great job on Dixon.
Yep.
Vandermeer was dangerous up forward. Gardner did a good job down back. Martin well and truly held his own in the ruck. Shacky was great on Alier. Norton beat McKenzie. Duray did his job. Johannesson was brilliant.
They get
English
better.
Did his job. Hannon played his best game ever. Rourke Smith was dangerous. Easton Wood did his job. Liberatore was great. Bailey Williams was good. Bontempelli was great. Daniel was great. Dunkley was good. Hunter was good.
Going to be long, Rose?
Smith was good. Well, what I'm basically saying is they did not have a passenger.
No, you're right. Unbelievable. Team effort. We said they needed to play like that if they were going to be any chance. We were thinking any chance in being in the hunt, not sort of this sort of score. This has come from nowhere.
And what about Hannon? He was a real star early on in this game tonight, Burner. Leaving Melbourne, why did that happen, do you think, him moving to the Bulldogs?
He had a lot of injury at Melbourne. He just, for whatever reason, he started with Footscray, which is the Bulldogs VFL affiliate, and got drafted to Melbourne after a really good final series in the VFL. I think they won the premiership. It might have been the year when the Bulldogs actually won the premiership in the AFL as well, 2016. But he had a really good final series in 2018 for Melbourne as well. Hit the scoreboard, kicked multiple goals on a few occasions. And he's almost a big game player. The bigger the game, not many people know about Mitch Hannon, but in big games, you could really rely on him to stand up, and he flies at the ball. He's quick. His defensive pressure up forward is really good. So certainly someone that sneaks under the radar, but he won't sneak under Melbourne's radar. They know how good he can be and is. But it was almost, they went down that path rather than they kept Jaden Hunt on the list, who was playing a little bit forward. Basically played the same roles at the time. I know Jaden Hunt's gone back now, but they decided to keep Jaden Hunt and they moved Hannon on.
What about Dunkley's story? Remember all the trade period last year? Essendon, he wanted to go to Essendon. Essendon tried to get him. Dogs wouldn't let him go. They convinced him to stay. Now he could play in a premiership.
Yeah, and he played a good role tonight. I know Wines found a lot of the footy, but he was matching up on him around stoppage. Played his role as well. Probably hasn't had the biggest month of footy, Dunkley, in terms of numbers. But, again, with Treloar, he's probably had a bit of a quiet month too, but was good again tonight. And you just got to be there when the whips are cracking. I'd trust Dunkley in a contest, no doubt about it.
Stephen Martin leaves Brisbane, goes to the Dogs just to top up on the rucks, and he could play in a premiership too.
We haven't really mentioned him too much tonight. What about his performance? First game since round 12. That's a long time. And you've got to give a big tick to the coaching staff and fitness staff
as well. High performance have been incredible.
High performance. Because to get that man, that was a big question for me. I was thinking, you can't bring in a guy that hasn't played since round 12 into a big prelim final. He could go down in the first 10 minutes. You bring the sub on, Anthony Scott, who's knee height to a grasshopper, completely different player, different role. Can't just throw him into the ruck. So big risk, but the trust they've got in the fitness staff, they had to do it. English just has played forward. So, great decision by the coaching staff, match committee, fitness staff, big tick, you have to say. So, the Dogs, they're right in it. They're as big a chance as Melbourne are in 2 weeks it is, but it's going to be a fascinating
game. Well, the hit-outs were 49-24 in favour of Port Adelaide. Yet they got smashed in the clearances and contested possession. So great performance by the Bulldogs midfielders. They weren't rucking to Nat Nui or Max Gawn. They were rucking to the opposition and still beat them fair and square.
That's been the tale of their season, though, the Dogs. I think they're 17th in hit-outs and one or two, I think, for clearance. So they don't rely on winning the hit-outs.
It's a lot harder to do it, though.
Just hunt it. Yeah, but they...
So much harder.
They've proved that they can do it.
Imagine if they had Nat Nui or Gawn feeding them.
Well, they might lose clearance, Roo. They might like the challenge. But, they turned up today, the Dogs.
Having a chat with one of the stars tonight, Mitch Hannon from the Bulldogs. Biggles?
Mitch, congratulations. Incredible game right from the outset. But talk us through the theme. We know Bevo loves a theme leading into the match. What did he go with to pump you boys up for tonight?
You're right, he does have a couple of themes. This one's sort of been building for a few weeks now, and it's to do with, I guess, a little bit of Shawshank Redemption. I won't delve into it too much, but, he's been spurring us on with some of that stuff since we commenced the finals.
And the feelings down in the rooms just then, talk us through that.
Oh, unbelievable. As you know, being on the road with the whole playing group, there's 20-odd guys that are sort of riding the wave with us, and to have them all in the huddle singing the song with us, knowing that we're into the grand final, is a tremendous feeling.
Hey, Mitch, Bernie Vince up here, mate. Congratulations. 14 disposals tonight, 3 goals. Your forward 50 pressure was outstanding. Has it sunk in yet? Have you worked out what's going on in 2 weeks' time, playing your old side in a grand final for a premiership?
Oh, Burn, it definitely hasn't sunk in yet, mate. It's obviously crossed my mind, especially after watching last night. but now that it's come to fruition, I'm still pinching myself. Still very close mates with a lot of those guys that played last night. And if you had asked me 12 months ago that this was how it was going to pan out, I would have said no way. So, yeah, 2 weeks to sort of cool the jets and then get into it.
And how did you feel after last night? Were you thinking, oh, no, well, we'll play Port Adelaide in Adelaide. It's going to be a tough game for us. Melbourne are in. Maybe I should have stayed with the D's.
No, definitely not. I've loved the move so far. The D's were looking very good last night, but like I, vice versa, I think we've started playing some really good footy at the right time. So, yeah, it'll be a cracking match.
Mark Ricciuto, mate, all the best. Well played tonight. You were brilliant in that first half when the game was there to be won. When's the last grand final you played in? Were you an adult?
Footscray.
Yeah, I played for the Footscray Bulldogs VFL Granny back in 2016.
Oh, sorry, I didn't do my homework.
Well, I told you that, Roo.
Did you?
Yeah.
I don't listen to you very much.
No, I know you don't. That's how we drafted him.
Sorry, Mitch.
No, you're right, Mark.
Hey, what was the message going into tonight? Because right from the start, you just looked a different team because you sort of finished off your last 3 or 4 weeks. You went from top two to sort of top four, and then the last round, unluckily, went out of the top four back to fifth spot. You've done it the tough way. What was the message before the game? Because that intensity and pressure is outstanding.
Yeah, it's probably exactly that. We've probably been beaten up a little bit, sort of all around the ground, actually, those last three games of the home and away season. But I think in the last 3 weeks of these finals, you've seen us sort of gain a bit more control in the midfield, play a little bit more forward half footy, and then sort of hold it in there. So that sort of, I guess, give us repeat entries and repeat stoppages and more opportunities to score on goal. And I think in that first half, you saw that, for sure.
Has Steph Martin pulled up first up for him a very long time? He'd be a bit ginger, wouldn't he?
Right now, he's probably still running on adrenaline like the rest of us. But he's a big man and he's obviously come from a fair layoff. But as you know, we've got 2 weeks to ice him up. But it's great to have him back out there. He's a big presence and he's an even better bloke to have. So I'm sure he'll be fine.
Mitch, is Bailey Smith, is he human? His final series, 20 disposals and a goal against the Dons. Last week, 27-3 in the match winner. Tonight, 23-4 goals, a career high. He just keeps getting better and better, this bloke.
Yeah, he's running hot, isn't he? He's, I think he's built for the big moments as well, as you've seen the last couple of weeks. He's a professional. He's super strong for a guy of his age. And he loves the big moments. So to have all those attributes, we're lucky to have him.
Alex Keith back for the granny?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, but he's obviously probably up there with one of our most important players. And to allow him to sort of have this night off and now in hindsight have the victory is probably a great call. But yeah, with grand finals, you try to get everyone up, I guess. So
going to be a very stiff player that gets knocked out of this side with Cody Waitman going to come back in as well.
That's right. He's been electric. He's another one that sort of provides a bit of X factor and some buzz up forward. So, yeah, Bevo's got some big calls, but we'll probably reassess tomorrow and see how everyone's bodies sort of pull up and then go from there.
What does this week look like now, Mitch? Are you allowed to go outside? You weren't allowed to train. You're allowed to walk on the oval for only an hour, no longer.
Yeah.
What are you allowed to do? When do you head off?
Oh, well, we found ourselves in Brisbane last week, and due to, I think, the WA government, our sort of quarantine period reset. So yep. We've got another week in Perth. I think we might be in Fremantle, just in the hotel, enjoying each other's company, doing what we can under quarantine conditions, and then hopefully next weekend we'll be free to sort of live life as normal and prepare for the granny.
Well, Mitch, boyhood dream stuff, mate. Well done. Congratulations and best of luck in the big one in a fortnight.
Thanks very much, guys.
There he is, Mitch Hannon. 3 goals tonight in a preliminary final. There were 2 teams out here tonight, Dit, so I'll let you take this away. Port Adelaide, down by 71 points. The Dogs going. What do you want to know from these guys over here about this effort tonight?
Look, I'm reluctant to sink the boots in right now and go, that was pathetic, that was terrible. It was, by the way, but things that we've talked about, what I'd like to, you know, look at in the next few days is, was it a false sense? So in other words, did Port Adelaide just get a dream draw? And the fact that they couldn't beat top 8 sides all year, does it mean that maybe we just got a bit carried away? I'd like to sort of explore that part of it. Downhill ski, as you just mentioned, Roo, I felt halfway through the Port Adelaide had too many of a similar type player that isn't that hard, tough inside player. There's a lot of outside run and a lot of very, very skillful type players. And you know, on Triple M Roo, we name some of them during the year, and if anyone's listening would think, oh, you can't drop him and you can't get rid of him. I'm not saying you do get rid of those players. What I'm saying is you can't have all of them in the same side. So if I was to mention a Riley Bonner or a Carl Amon, I'm not saying get rid of them and drop them. What I'm saying is you can't have all of these blokes out there in the same side. So something's got to give, and I think these are the things that will be discussed over the next week or the next few weeks.
I know what I'd be looking at. I'd be looking back at the West Coast in Perth game. I'd be looking at the Brisbane in Brisbane game, and yes, I'd be looking at this game, and I'd be seeing why did we not perform when we're expected to go and perform? Who is not playing well in the big games? And is there a common theme? If there's a common theme, I'd talk to those individual players about what they do in that preparation and try and work it out, because it's a common thread, and you can't afford in prelims or grand finals to do that. If you do that, you're out.
It happened
with the Crows in 2017. They didn't rock up on about three occasions during the game, and they didn't do it in the grand final again. And the big games find you out.
Yep, and you got to weed that out, the reason why. And I'd like to delve into a little bit more, and only the coaches will know and they'll review all this, but why is when your contested possession or Port Adelaide's contested possession drops off, why they're just so far out of the contest, it's not funny. And that's what you're talking about. Those games
doesn't even
spoke
just drop
about.
Off, it falls off.
Minus 30 it was tonight, minus 30, and it was
minus 20 at quarter time.
Minus 20, yeah, something like that at quarter time. So, I mean, that's an attitude, that's a want for the contest, that's thinking.
Minus 23
maybe,
at quarter time.
Amazing. So that's a maybe thinking that it's just going to happen. And there's players, like if you went through a few of the efforts tonight, Motlop, hardly sighted, Fantasia, hardly sighted. There's a couple that, you know, you question mark. Burn Jones has had a pretty lean year. Mm-hmm. And another quiet night tonight. Marshall, I know he subbed off in the end, but he, you know, showed a little bit in that third quarter. Had a couple of shots on goal, but pretty quiet as well. I mean, these are names that keep coming up in these big games that, you know, you have to, it becomes a habit. Yep. And you've got to look at that, because if you keep going, oh, no, they'll be right next time, eventually next time isn't there anymore and your window's gone.
What the weird thing tonight was, though, blokes like Connor Rosie, who everyone thinks has got a bright
Butters.
Future. Butters is, no matter, I think just about every single game he's played, he looks dangerous at some stage. I don't reckon he did a dangerous thing tonight.
No. And he's not really hard at the contest.
It was actually across the board, which... Whenever I see a performance where it's just totally across the board, I always think preparation. There's something to do with the preparation, the high performance, the training, the message that's getting sent out in the club. There's something that happens that affects everyone, because you can't just all have a bad day on the same day. You just can't do that.
Interestingly, after the Geelong win, they all had a holiday.
A four-day break, which players, all the AFL sides do have four-day breaks through the year.
This late, though, right?
Hang on. Do that after the grand final, surely.
It's not a holiday.
No, you know what I mean, but a break. Get away from the club, no training, nothing, for 4 days. You're in the midst of a final series. There isn't a sports person in the world that does that, Roo.
Yes. I don't know what the other clubs did, but all I do know, Dits, is that in modern football for years they do have four-day breaks. Now, I'm not saying the other finals sides did it. We don't know, because they're not in Adelaide. Maybe they did, maybe
they
didn't.
I find the timing of it strange. But if you're saying all the sides did it, then okay.
No. I'm saying if the other sides do, but I know all through the year sides
have
mandatory four-day breaks.
You get two set four-day breaks. But I haven't seen it this late in the season, not in a finals program. But I know Melbourne last week, well, that was the talk last night when Steve May went down. Did they train too hard in the break? I'd rather train a little bit, err on the side of maybe training a little bit too hard than having a holiday or going off or having time off. But
something's happened
only
for them
inside,
to play that softer footy.
Only inside the club they'll know. And they'll review, when I say review, not just review the centre square stoppages. They'll review the whole 2 weeks. They'll review the whole last month.
This is a preparation.
It has to be.
Performance tonight. This is not how good they are. They're
way better than that.
So this is something to do with the preparation.
Well, I'd love to know if the other clubs did, because I'm telling you now, you win a final like the one against Geelong, you get straight into the club the next day, keep your foot on the pedal, and you say, boys, we've got 3 weeks to go.
Yeah.
We keep going, and we keep working hard, and in 3 weeks' time, have as many days off as you want.
With a premiership medal around your neck. That'll be a better holiday.
So I'd love to find out what happened.
Well, they wouldn't have had the opportunity to really, Dits, would they? Because they're in lockdown, so they're all together. So they have to be doing something together at the same time.
The other teams?
After their wins, yeah. I'm not saying Port Adelaide definitely did. But the other teams, they've had to keep going and working together.
As I said, you can jump at Shadows right now. You can blame all sorts of things. I got to just let the dust settle a little bit here and find out what's coming out. I'd love to hear Ken Hinckley's press conference tonight. I certainly will go home and have a listen to it. But I'm still just pointing back to the fact that during the year they weren't beating top eight sides. Maybe Port Adelaide aren't that good. And the other thing you got to say is sometimes you run into a side that's just much better than you, and they did tonight.
They were hot tonight, the Dogs.
Bulldogs were very good.
You'd love to see with those games that I mentioned, the West Coast in Perth, the Brisbane in Brisbane, there was no fight back.
Mm.
That's a good side's fight back. They don't wait. They don't just capitulate for the whole game. So is there a preparation lead into those games that mirrored what happened tonight so they can find it out? Or is it a mindset? Haven't they not got the ticker at quarter time to change and fight back against good sides? Only they know internally that.
Where do you think their window's at now? Because last year it was a 6-point loss in a prelim and they got out Aaliyah and they got Fantasia and it looked as though they were the missing pieces that were going to take Port to the next level. It hasn't turned out that way. It certainly looked like that against Geelong, but tonight it's another story. Look, so you got older players, Boak, you got Robbie Gray, these sort of players.
Robbie Gray's the one that's starting to get a bit tired. I mean, he willed himself to get him across the line in a couple of those late games. He's had a quiet year, Robbie Gray. You've got Charlie Dixon, who's over 30, and then you've got Boak, who's still running on top of the ground. The window's open for me.
Wide open. You got potentially Dawson coming to the footy club as well if Adelaide miss out on him. So, I mean, it's still wide open, and it's not, you know, throw everything out. But
you don't want to waste the opportunity.
Well, this opportunity doesn't last too long, and they've been in two prelims in a row, and, geez, you only get two or three looks at it generally. Look at Richmond now. They drop after sort of four cracks at it. They've dropped right out of the eight. So it can happen pretty quick. West Coast, same thing.
Now, I just happened to be watching in the centre circle after the siren. Not now. You're all looking at
it. Yeah, the mower's the mower's out there.
The mower's out there. Charlie Dixon was distraught, and I sort of paid a bit of attention to it. He was on his haunches, and he was visibly crying, and a couple of players had to go up and console him. Now, what do we read into that? Do we read into it just very, very disappointed in tonight?
Yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah.
Or are we reading more into that? But he had to be consoled by two young players. Bergman was one of them that went up and grabbed him and sort of walked him off the ground.
That's a good sign that he's crying. It means a lot to him. I've cried in prelims. They're devastating because you are focused on winning a premiership. That's what you play footy for. If you're the right type of footballer, that's all you play for and that's all you want. And when you go into a prelim final and you think you can win and you don't, it breaks your heart.
There'd be some disappointing boys in the rooms right now, wouldn't there? It'd be pretty quiet.
It'd be more than Charlie Dixon crying there, I promise you that.
What happens in sport? Seriously, you can play people that are better than you sometimes. And don't you ask the question, say, did I give everything I could have? Did I try everything? Did I fight till the end? And in the end, if you tick all those boxes and go, all right, I got beaten by
that
someone better.
That was last year, Port Adelaide, yeah.
It's correct. Tonight, they cannot tick one of those boxes. They've beaten by 71 points in a prelim final.
At home, when you're hot favourites. It doesn't happen, does it? So there'll be a very quiet change room in there, no doubt.
Now, Triple M Amy Review. Amy, who covers Clangers? Amy does. Lucky you're with Amy. It was the Dogs by 71 points. The Monopoly game at Macca's is back. Game on, of course, last night around the grounds for Choice Hotels. It was the Demons making their way through to the grand final by 83 points. So two prelims, as you mentioned, boys, 83 points. The Demons go through, 71 points. The Bulldogs. We might wind it up with your final thoughts on the grand final as far as who you think gets that.
Usually
one
the prelims are the best weekend of the year. This is not one of those. We've had an 80-odd point win and a 70-odd point win. Let's just hope the grand final is an absolute belter.
Yep. You usually got home crowds as well. All your members, supporters are there. They're all playing interstate, apart from Port Adelaide, obviously. But, yeah, I don't know. I've obviously played at the D, so I'm leaning towards the Ds for a big win. But I can't wait to see the midfield battle next week. I think the two best midfields go head-to-head next week. Going to be fascinating.
No doubt you'll be heading to Perth, Byrne, to do the lap of the corporate circuit.
Yeah, got a few things on.
You're heading over?
Yeah, the D. Last night, I'd already booked them, but I didn't want to tell anyone.
you'll be on Hemsworth plane, won't you?
No, on the way back, maybe.
You'll be going for the dog. You've jumped to the dog.
I'll have my shirt on, don't worry, if I'm standing next to you. Yeah.
Well, there it is. The Bulldogs are through to the grand final. It's Melbourne and the Bulldogs in a couple of weeks' time. Port Adelaide bow out. The Bulldogs home by 71 points for McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks footy.